Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome to the show. Hope y'all are having a great Monday afternoon. Solo edition of the show for me. James here with you, and I am solo, but I am not alone. I got all of you to join me. Call up, join us. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. Love to hear from every one of you guys. We want to talk about whatever you want to talk about. We will get to whatever sports you want to, of course, but we are a sports show, and we do need to cover, you know, of course, certain topics when they're huge, when they're gigantic. And one of those is the trade that happened this weekend in the NBA. And I understand NBA is not exactly the biggest thing that pulls people in to sports conversation these days. Especially here in Wisconsin, with the Bucks not, you know, doing very well in their last handful of games and everything. I would think that, you know, having two of the greatest players in the NBA on your team would bring your attention to the Bucks a little bit, but, you know, I digress. Regardless, it's very rare that you have this happen in sports. The closest equivalent I can give you in sports right now is something like the Packers trading Jordan Love right now for a guy who's got 2 years left in the league, who's good, but maybe got a couple of years left of playing productively. That's in some ways what just happened, because there was you rarely see this, but almost a trade news dump on a Saturday night, where one of the top three greatest players in the NBA, Luka Doncic, was traded to the Los Angeles Lakers. There's a handful of details to that trade. If you care, you know. If you don't, then I'm not going to waste your time with it. But Anthony Davis was the big piece that was brought over from the Los Angeles Lakers. And I'm a fan of Anthony Davis. I think he's a great player. He gives a lot back to his hometown city. And has won an NBA championship. I think that even most people that are hard on him would say he's a top 20 player, top 15, maybe even top 10 this season the way he's been playing. But Luka Doncic is unarguably one of the greatest offensive players we've ever seen in the NBA. You can't argue that. If you care about basketball even a little bit, if you look at stats even a little bit, if you just watch this young man play, he's one of the greatest we've seen. He's incredible. And not only was he traded, but unlike big trades of the past, like here in Wisconsin, we could talk certainly about Lew Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar being traded. You've got Shaquille O'Neal being traded a couple of times in his career. But NBA in trades is not rare. What's rare is a superstar of this caliber being traded when nothing tells us he wanted to be. This was the franchise's choice, and so much so that they have come out when somebody breaks up with somebody, but they got to defend it to their friends and family and everything, like immediately, like 2 seconds later. Oh, he wasn't taking care of himself. He wasn't doing this. He wasn't doing that. You guys don't know what we know. Immediately defending it. Defensively, I might add. And understandably, because they got fleeced. Because not only did this superstar, this once-in-a-generation kind of talent, not want to be traded, but he was blindsided by this to the point that the whole league was. Maybe one, two other people even knew. There was a third team involved, the Utah Jazz, and Danny Ainge, who is one of the best all-time at this, was completely blindsided. He was a part of the trade, and he didn't even know those two guys were involved. Nobody did but these teams. And while it's unfathomable to trade a guy like this, what's even more insane is to do it and not open up a bidding war. All right, you're going to trade him. All right, you don't believe that you can get to the promised land with him, even though just last season you got to the NBA Finals with Luka Doncic. Okay. Well, open it up to the rest of the league. There's maybe a couple of teams that wouldn't have been in on this trade. I don't think Milwaukee would have been. You're not trading Giannis or Dame for him, so you're probably not in on the trade. You know, there's a handful of other teams. But honestly, I don't know that I would have said that. I could picture if you said to me, well, the Lakers are going to trade, will trade Anthony Davis. Like, I don't know that I would have thought that Davis would have been in this trade. So I don't even know if I would have thought he was a player that would have been. So maybe Dame or Giannis would have been. Who knows? I'll tell you who doesn't know, Dallas and their new their GM. Because they did not even give this a shot. And that's bad business. That's just horribly bad business. And I bring that up in part because this is a business. And the next time you want to yell at your TV or your radio about players and how they don't have loyalty, how players aren't loyal, how players don't care. This kid was loyal. This kid cared. And what happened? Never, ever forget, as much as we get insane about these teams, as much as we love these teams, to the people who are signing the checks, to the people that are running it, it is a business. And I don't mean a couple of them. I mean every single one. That includes your Green Bay Packers, your Milwaukee Brewers. That includes my Chicago White Sox. That includes every single team out there. Every team. Please, if you think you can, if you want to debate this with me, please feel free to call up 715-424-2600. I've talked enough today. I'd love to hear from you. But it's a business. And I'm not going to get mad at the players. I never have. I've never once gotten mad at the player for doing what's right by the player. And in part because of things like this. It is a business. And I love sports. I get passionate about this stuff. I get crazy about it. I mean, 47-year-old man who still walks around in a jersey with another man's last name on the back, if it forgets. I think that's all you need to say, is that if you have a sports jersey that fits you and you're over the age of 25, I mean, you're pretty diehard about this stuff. And I'll be the first to tell you that it's business. And this is, if you are in a courtroom and you need evidence to prove that, here is evidence, maybe B or C, but it could be A. And if you own the Dallas Mavericks, if you have stock in them, I would be embarrassed right now. It's one thing to trade the guy. It's another to get one first round pick and a guy who's got a couple of years left of good basketball. Maybe if he could stay healthy, we're talking about a guy who up until this last season or so, his nickname was Street Clothes because he couldn't stay healthy in Anthony Davis. It's bad business. If you're a fan of that team, how do you get behind this? I got to imagine, and I would love to talk to fans of the Bucks when they traded Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and if there was a similar feeling. It's wild to me. And we ain't done. We got until Thursday until the NBA trade deadline wraps up. And there is plenty of discussion of plenty of players. The Milwaukee Bucks are in on this a little bit. They would like to make, and I don't think there's any chance they're trading any of their big names, but Chris Middleton could be one of them, so it's a semi-big name. But neither of the big two are going. But a big name that could be out there, Zion Williams, especially with the Pelicans losing their number three best player in Murray. Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, Zion Williams, again, all of them could be out there. And you still may have not even seen the biggest trade happen yet. Because everything I just said about Luka Doncic, that's all great and he's good, but he's also 25 and anything can happen. LeBron James has one of the most set legacies in all of sports. What can he do to ruin his legacy going forward? I'm not saying it can't happen, but it's a pretty, he's going to have to work at it. He's going to have to try. He'd have to do some major things. And he could be traded. I just said that he intends to stay with the Lakers because that's what you do. You don't know if a trade's going to happen, so you're not going to come out and say, hey, I want to be traded if you don't think you're going to be. But the Golden State Warriors are determined to bring in a superstar with Steph Curry. And that is an organization that is very good at what they do. And if they say they're going to do it, I have a strong confidence that they are going to pull that off. I don't know what superstar, I don't know what's left. But we didn't know Luka was out there. So who knows? But they're not going to settle. I'll tell you that. They are not going to settle. And LeBron James could be that name. So as big as this trade is, come Wednesday or Friday, playmakers, which we will be here for, could be talking about that. Let's talk to you. 715-424-2600. Love to hear from you. I'll be keeping an eye out of the corner of my eye. I'll be keeping an eye on this, as well as this story and what may come of it. Because we're just in the beginnings of this, and the story broke about an hour ago. Major League Baseball has fired umpire Pat Hoberg for sharing betting accounts. The legal sports betting accounts with a friend who bet on baseball and who for intentionally deleting messages key to the investigation into his conduct. So, is this the first of many of these stories? This is what they get, you know. Sports opened up the gambling, you know, Pandora's box. And with that, you're going to be seeing more of these stories, probably. If you want to take, here we go, let's do a betting, as we're talking about betting, let's bet. What's your over and under in the next 5 years of stories like this in sports? Because I'm going close to double digits. This is not the end of this. For decades, sports has made millions, if not billions, off of people. And so many people look at it from the outside looking in, and that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for a kid's game, whatever we're talking about. They want their piece, and people are going to get it. This is part of the reason why, and please, I want all my conspiracy theorists out there about the Super Bowl to call up now and tell me how the NFL planned this. The NFL wanted the Eagles and Chiefs. You think for a second that anybody who was betting on the other teams, how would they feel about this? If you think there was any chance for anybody out there, because there's more people who have lost money than not, that's the casino always wins. That's how these things work. If you think that the NFL is smart enough to pull off a conspiracy of that size, of that magnitude, God, I wish I knew what color is the sky in your world. And I'm convincible on this. Like, I'm not at all saying this like I know, like, for sure or something, but I feel pretty darn confident about it. But you got some evidence. You got something to back this up. Please tell me. And I'm going to need a little bit more than Patrick Mahomes gets all the calls, because so did Josh Allen, and he's sitting at home right now. I'm going to need a little bit more than the NFL wanted a repeat. And not even a good repeat from, like, you know, well, this was one of the greatest Super Bowls we ever saw, or it's back-to-back years or something like that. Now, the NFL wanted two, in their opinion, semi-major markets in Philadelphia and Kansas City. Oh, yeah, those major television markets of those. Yeah, got to pull those dollars in. Where is the conspiracy? Don't give me the Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce thing, for God's sake. Do you think the NFL really needs Taylor Swift? The NFL. I'm not saying Taylor Swift is probably, you can make the argument she's bigger than the NFL. I'm not saying that. But the NFL don't need her. The NFL's not going to, the idea of ruining it all, it's all ruined. If it came out that this was a conspiracy, that they actually conspired for this, it would kill the NFL. It would never recover from it. How many of you would watch if there was actual evidence that came out and said that it was all planned? Who's going to watch the NFL anymore? I know I wouldn't. I know my family wouldn't. I can't imagine we're the only ones. Well, you know, maybe. I don't know. I find it entertaining, actually, to hear people discuss this and talk about the idea of that. I am curious where you're landing on the Super Bowl. Who do you think is going to win? How interested are you? Do you care more about the commercials than the actual game? Think you might be interested in this, and I can pull a local tie-in for it as well. After last week, the Cleveland Browns management coming out and saying that they would not, it came out today that star defensive player Myles Garrett for the Cleveland Browns has requested a trade. Why are we talking about this in Wisconsin? Because I can imagine he'd look good in the uniform, in the Green Bay uniform. And that is a piece that they could use. And let's be honest, a front office you can fleece. I'm sorry to Cleveland Brown fans, but the team that signed the Deshaun Watson to that deal is still in power over there. And as long as that is the case, I not only can't be a Brown fan, and in the little slightest of ways, used to be like a sister team to me. I haven't been able to root for them since they made that move. But I kind of laugh at this stuff now. There's probably no NFL team that I really like take pleasure in them losing or anything. And I like I like Cleveland, the city. I have friends over there. I like the city, you know, all that. But it's the management for me. Because, again, this is a business. And while I think a lot of people might see that Brown helmet and those logos, I'm seeing hedge fund owners. And I'm seeing people looking at this as a business and thinking that they can treat the NFL like it's a game of Madden. And that's not for the fans. That's for them and them, you know, getting into the black. As that is, Green Bay has a very smart front office, I believe. I think they've proven that. And they're pretty good at these things. They're pretty good at making moves. Now, it is not likely that the Green Bay Packers make a trade for Myles Garrett. I'm not saying that. I don't think anybody even necessarily Scheffler or any of those big names are going to be, you know, bringing up the Green Bay with this. But I think you got to put these things in the ether. I think you got to put these things out there. And you just don't know. And I'm curious to see what you guys would think of that, if you think that that would be a good fit. Of course, the right price is always going to come up. But what's, you know, in the NFL, we're usually talking one or two first-round picks. I mean, what's one of the biggest things that the Packers are missing right now? Playmakers. Shameless plug. But they're missing playmakers. They got a nice team. You got a great young team. There's a lot of excitement behind them. I guarantee you, come the NFL draft, especially with it being in Green Bay, and as we're getting through summer, you can go ahead and play this back if I'm wrong, but one of the teams they're going to be talking quite a bit about is going to be Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love. They were last season. They're going to be doing it again this year. This is a team that, by all rights, should be making moves. Whether in free agency, like they have done with Josh Jacobs and McKinney, or making a move for a Myles Garrett, or at the very least, getting your name in the room and having some conversation about this. I think that there's a couple of things that Green Bay needs to do to make themselves Super Bowl contenders. And I think it's just a couple of things. I don't think they're that far away from it. But you need leadership on that team. You need first and foremost, the coaching staff needs to grow up. Matt LaFleur, I need to see him stop whining on the side. I need to hear that in the press conferences, him acting like a moody teenager and him being whining on the sidelines. How is that a leader of men? I say that as Sirianni is in the Super Bowl, who is 1,000 times worse than Matt LaFleur. So what do I know? But I don't think it hurt. I think after that, you need Jordan Love and you need these guys acting like leaders. And that doesn't mean you have to be the rah-rah guy. That doesn't mean that you got to be there chanting and pumping up your guys. You don't got to be Ray Lewis. But you darn sure can't be Jay Cutler. Because I know you're not going to like this, everybody. But that's the way he's acting on the sidelines. He's got his head down. He's shaking his head. He's doing these things in the game that you can't have your quarterback doing. You cannot have the leader of your team doing. Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen throw their hands up almost the second they hit the ground. I'm not saying you can't, you know, try to get calls. I understand that's the game and I don't like it, but I understand it's part of the game. I'm talking about body language. I'm talking about the way that you are coming across to the rest of the team. And how do you do those things? You go in-house and you bring in vets like Josh Jacobs, like McKinley, and some other names that are out there to help with this. The young thing's great, but the young thing gets you Jair Alexander, highest paid corner in football, who how many people out there believe he's going to be a shutdown corner next year? You think he's going to be a shutdown corner? Do you think Jair Alexander next year is going to not only be a shutdown corner, but every time your team is going against the best, Justin Jefferson's lining up and Jair Alexander is going to cover him every time? How many of you have confidence in that? How many of you have confidence Jair Alexander is going to give you not even a full season? I'll say 13, 14 games. Highest paid corner in football. You think he's going to do that? Nah, let him be somebody else's problem. You got to get away from that. Got to get up from under that contract. I didn't understand it when they signed him. I didn't understand it when they drafted him. I didn't understand it when they did that either. Fine player. Not for that money. Ain't worth that. Miles Garrett is, though. You can get a guy like that in there. That's a proven leader. He's proven on a bad team year in and year out what he can do. Bring somebody like that in, that's a game changer right there. And that's what you need, game changers. I don't think you necessarily need a T. Higgins, although that would look really good for Green Bay. That would be great. But I hear everybody saying that they want to bring him in. Having a number one wide receiver would be great. You cannot count on Christian Watson. I root for that kid. I wish him well. I don't know if he played his last game for Green Bay or not. But even if he didn't, again, how many of you are confident he's going to give you 14 to 15 games next season? Let alone, how is he going to be after this injury? His game is built on speed. Every injury lowers that 40 time. Very few people are faster after injuries that he's suffered. So I wish him well, but I don't know that that's not your answer. It's just not. And you can go into the NFL draft and grab the fastest wide receiver and all that, and maybe he'll be good. This wide receiver class is pretty deep. The running back class is incredibly deep in the draft. Very excited about that. But, you know, T. Higgins would be nice. Miles Garrett would be a lot nicer. What are the teams that make it far in the playoffs? This ain't the best show on turf days. And even they had a decent defense. Both these teams are left. It is not a coincidence. Have great, if not legendary, defensive coordinators. Maybe you can't name, you know, a couple of guys on both the defenses, but you know these coordinators. You need that. You need playmakers. You need a defense that is going to hit you in the mouth and not apologize for it. And I think you have the pieces to do that in Green Bay. But you got to add. You got to finish it off. We'll take our break here in a moment. Before we do, a little bit of baseball news for those that did not see. The Milwaukee Brewers and William Contreras have avoided arbitration. Brewers have signed a one-year deal with a club option for 2026. The backstop will make $6 million this year. And there's a $100K buyout on a $12 million option. So he's guaranteed about $6.1 million. Pretty good deal, I think, for one of the hardest things to find in baseball and a really consistent, good catcher. And I think that you can see that trade working out better and better for them, I think. I like him. I think he's a good player. And I don't know, you can name 10 great catchers in baseball anymore. I think he's one of them. So that's a pretty nice move. You get it out of the way this early in the offseason. Get him in, real quickly here for pitchers and catchers. That's a nice move for the Brewers. We're going to take a timeout when we come back. I got some stats of the show for you. We're going to talk a little River Kings. And how much is Saquon Barkley making if they win the Super Bowl? How much is Patrick Mahomes going to make if he wins the Super Bowl? We will discuss, and we'll talk to you. Coming up on Playmakers, which is proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods, right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Got your host, James, here. We are wide open. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. Love to hear from each and every one of you. Call up and join the conversation, everybody. Let's go ahead and dive into a couple of other things here. Got our stats of the show coming up for you in a little bit as we're going to talk some Super Bowl. We'll talk some River Kings, get into our schedule as well. But it is Super Bowl week. And every player on the winning Super Bowl team on Sunday will get a nice bonus, a $171,000 bonus from the NFL. But some of them will get even more thanks to bonuses that are negotiated into their contracts. Like, for instance, the Philadelphia Eagles running back Saquon Barkley. He's got a bonus in there for $500,000 if he leads the team to the Lombardi Trophy. He's already earned $1 million in incentives this season, including $250,000 for winning the NFC Championship. Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts, another $5,000 there. $500,000, sorry. Oh, jeez. Kansas City Patrick Mahomes, $1.5 million salary bump if the Chiefs three-peat. And all the players on the losing teams get about $96,000. That's up from $89,000 last year. Now, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money until you think about how much the NFL is actually making just from this one game. Just from the Super Bowl. Not even talking about the whole rest of the regular season or preseason or playoffs. Not talking about the offseason or the NFL draft. Just from the Super Bowl, how much the NFL makes. This is pennies to them, what I just gave you. All of that put together, every player's bonus amounts to nothing compared to the NFL. They are playing with monopoly money. These players are playing with real money. The NFL and their owners are playing with monopoly money. And I bring that up in part because we were talking about Saquon Barkley, and there's been a lot of talk this year about the rise of the running backs, even though the running backs never really went anywhere, and they've been good for many years and very necessary to winning Super Bowls, but a lot of this came up with Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs being free agents. And of course, don't tell you out there, Jacobs signing in Green Bay for a very nice contract and how much he helped that team. I don't think it's a I don't think there's any question about it. Josh Jacobs was the offensive, if not the MVP for the Packers this year. He was certainly the offensive MVP for them. And certainly the same could be, I don't know if he was the face of Baltimore, but I think he certainly helped Baltimore a lot in Derrick Henry. And then there's Saquon Barkley. Now, the difference with all of these guys and Saquon is Saquon not only stayed in the division, but there was, you know, the Raiders aren't really going anywhere. Really didn't make a lot of sense for them to re-sign Jacobs. I don't know why Tennessee didn't re-sign Derrick Henry, but they didn't. They're moving in a different direction. Okay. And there's been a lot of talk, including from me, about how the Cowboys, you know, could have ponied up and signed Derrick Henry, but just got cheap. Because, again, I've said this many times, and I'll keep saying it until he can prove me wrong. Jerry Jones doesn't care about winning a Super Bowl. It's a nice side project. It's a nice kind of, like, added bonus. But it don't mean as much to him as finishing in the black. It doesn't mean as much as that to him. What Jerry Jones looks at is not where he ranks in the NFL power rankings. Where is he on the Forbes list? Because this is a business to him. If it wasn't a business to them, why would they hire their family so much? They're not hiring family members because they think that they're going to help them win a Super Bowl. That's what you do in business. You hire family, make sure they got a job, and you don't got to put them in the will. No, I'm kidding. But it's like put them in there. Now, there saw an interesting stat, an interesting thing pop up here. So, The Seattle Seahawks owe Geno Smith $7.2 million. That's how much he was on their books for this year. Geno Smith, pretty good quarterback. I don't think anybody's putting him in the Saquon Barkley conversation of importance to a team or talent or anything like that. Philadelphia, Saquon Barkley, how much he cost them this year? $3.8 million. $3.8 mil. To have the biggest game changer in the NFL this season. There's no way that the Philadelphia Eagles are getting to the Super Bowl without Saquon. Not after everything we've seen this year. $3.8 million. And not only could have you could have kept him from Philly if you were the Giants, but a lot of teams, I don't think a lot of teams would have had a chance at Saquon Barkley. He's a Philly guy. I think he wanted to sign in Philly. That should be said. So maybe a little bit of a, I don't know about a hometown discount, but maybe. But it's also a running back who is coming off of a team that, you know, he thought he was going to spend the rest of his career at. So you're going to go for a good contract there. I imagine he signed maybe the best deal that was out there for him. So kind of interesting. Interesting stuff. Got some stats about the Super Bowl we'll get to in a moment here. We're going to kind of spend some time with that throughout the week here. Our stats of the show will be Super Bowl-centric. And some rare stats, some things maybe you did or you didn't know. Before we get to that, though, we started talking about trades. And one of the things that makes this trade stand out is a lot of people are looking at it as a lopsided trade, where you're trading one of the greatest players in the NBA for a guy who is, you know, good, but not of that caliber. And so it comes up, the most lopsided or worst trades in all of sports history. Because you can look up anywhere and see worst trades in hockey history, worst trades in football history. That I want to look at the worst trades in sports history, all of sports. What do you think are the worst trades of all time? Unless, of course, you are a fan of the team getting that guy, then you're probably not looking at it that way. I got to think that the number one in the list, the first one most people are going to think of, whether you are a young or an old baseball fan, or just a fan of sports in general, young or old, is the trade of Babe Ruth. The Red Sox selling Babe Ruth. Looking for cash, finance that musical. The Red Sox owner, Harry Frazee, sold baseball's greatest player to the Yankees. $100,000 and a loan in 1920. It led to, I think, the first curse in sports, or, you know, quote unquote curse. I'm sorry, I don't believe in curses. I don't. I'm sorry, but that for those that do, and anybody who has ever watched baseball a day in their life, the curse of the Bambino. I'm not sure, but I think it might be the first curse in sports and really got this whole thing started. And I think you can make an argument, got superstitions started in baseball. Does anybody know if there were superstitions before it? Was it a superstitious sport before it? Because I've had this conversation with a lot of athletes pretty much my whole life, and everybody says baseball is the most superstitious of all of them by far and away. Would it be without this trade? Without the Red Sox losing for so long? And how can it be a curse if they've won multiple times since then? You can go ahead and tell me 100 years later, all that stuff. If it's a true curse, they never win a World Series. They get close, maybe, but they would never have won one, let alone have one of the greatest comebacks, if not the greatest comeback in baseball history against the New York Yankees, the team that they have the curse against. I've never heard anything of, well, they did this to ruin the curse. They did this to get over the curse. I don't know. I didn't hear anybody, any witch doctor or anything like that. So I don't know how much of this curse I believe. But regardless, they believed it in Boston for a long time. And I think it's pretty fair that could be the worst trade in all of sports history. It's pretty hard to argue. The Baltimore Colts trading the rights to John Elway, you know, that's a huge one. The Nets traded Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers. Dr. J. Julius Erving. There's some big ones. You've got Pedro Martinez. I think the Pedro Martinez trade from Montreal. That's a big one. Nolan Ryan was traded. That's a pretty big one right there as well. So there's a handful of them out there. I think that in football, even if it's not true, you'll have I think 9.5 out of 10 football fans immediately say the Herschel Walker trade. Whether that's the worst trade in NFL history or not, I think it's very debatable. But I don't think it's any question that that's probably the most famous one. Just to go over that deal, it involved a whopping 6 players, 12 draft picks. The Cowboys laid the groundwork for their Super Bowl teams of the 90s by trading one player, Herschel Walker, to Minnesota in 89. In exchange for Walker, Dallas got 5 players, 6 conditional draft choices, and a 92 first-round pick. Turned that into, of course, Emmitt Smith, Darren Woodson, many, many others. It's hard to argue with what Dallas was able to do with that. That's not the most lopsided. Now, if modern-day Dallas were to make a trade like that, and they weren't to turn it into anything, no Super Bowls, no Hall of Fame players, is it really the worst trade ever, or is it just another trade that involves a bunch of draft picks? Because in the NBA, Rudy Gobert got traded for like 18 draft picks, and that was a story for a week, and then it faded away. I don't know. You got to do something with it. I don't think the trade is as bad if Dallas wasn't able to actually turn it into something. And I mean, I know that they won a Super Bowl after Jimmy Johnson left and everything. I mean, Jimmy Johnson has to take so much pride. Maybe not, but I would think he takes a lot of pride in what he was able to do over there. And I don't mean just putting together Super Bowl winning teams. I mean being able to do that with Jerry Jones hanging over your head. That's impressive. That's pretty impressive. Whether you like him or not, it's impressive. Our Kings have been impressive. Scott's Rapids River Kings continue their strong season. Had a successful weekend going over the stats for the games. The Kings took on the Minnesota Blue Ox over in Minnesota. And on Friday night, we're victorious, 5-3. Total of 46 shots on goal for your Kings. And kicked off the month of February on Saturday with a strong outing again. 4-1 victory over the Minnesota Blue Ox. Couple of great games for the Kings. And to be fair, Minnesota's a good team, but these are games that they should win. That doesn't mean that you're going to. That doesn't mean a whole lot. But I would think that, you know, coming out, they go into those games feeling that way. And really should be feeling that way against everybody this season. Kings are sitting in second place in the North Division, just 2 points behind the Minnesota Squatch. Got some exciting stuff coming up for the Kings, too. Their next event is going to be in Mild Stomping Grounds at the Rosemount Outdoor Arena in Chicago. Got a scrimmage matched up there. It's going to be an opportunity for our favorite players to be able to be seen by more scouts, have more opportunities, which is what this is all about. We talk about building hockey up and down the river. It's building the game, the love of the game, the knowledge of the game, and raising up these players. You know how excited we get when we see a rafter in the MLB? Drafted or something like that? It's the same thing. It's a pretty cool thing to see. And we have got just a master at this job in GM and head coach, Coach Paul. He'll be joining us soon. We're looking forward to having another fourth period for you. We'll find out about this scrimmage coming up and how he feels going into the last weeks of the season here. Because everything wraps up coming up here at the end of the month. That'll be end of the regular season. February 28th through March 2nd is the first round of the playoffs. So it is go time. It has been go time. You look at Coach Paul when he's talking about this, man. That man's already in playoff mode. February 7th is when we pick up league action again. Be at the rink at Battle Creek, taking on the Colonels. That'll be February 7th and 8th. And the Kings are back in town for a nice home stretch here to wrap up the season. On Valentine's Day, that Friday and Saturday, take on Santee Outlaws. And the very next weekend, got the Dells Ducks coming to town to wrap up the regular season. A bunch of great regular season games to wrap things up. And a chance to, you know, maybe pull off first place in the division in front of the home crowd. That'd be pretty cool. put another addition to that banner up there. I like the sound of that. Think that'd be pretty all right. You're going to come for the Kings. You best not miss. Follow your Kings as they build hockey up and down the river at riverkingshockey.com. And, of course, those home games I mentioned, if you can't make it to the Southwood County Rec Center, we got you. Join us on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI. We'll have those for you. Michael and Seth bringing them to you. Doing an amazing job, too. I don't want to embarrass him or anything too much when he's in the studio, but I've been very impressed with what Michael's been doing this season. Been working a lot for us, and you know, he's had some things thrown at him, and he's just been rolling with them. I've talked to enough people about this, that how hard hockey is to call, let alone if you don't have if you haven't grown up with the sport and know the lingo like it's the back of your hand, like other sports or something. And while there's plenty of people out there that are sitting there, I could call a game. Oh, I could do it. You know how many people in the last 20 years of my life have come up to me and told me that I should call games or I could do this? And okay, well, we could use people. Why don't you come on over and talk to Randy about it? Talk to Michael about it. And then they find out that it's not just sitting there and putting on a pair of headphones and just talking like you're talking to your buddies. Like, nah, that's not how commentating works. You would be furious if you were listening to that at home. Now, these guys work their tails off to get up to this point to where when you hear them, they're comfortable, they're cool, they're calm, they're collected. It takes work. It's very similar to me that what I do as an actor, prepping for a role. By the time you see me on stage, I am that person. And by the time you hear these guys, they are that announcer. Certainly doing better than Tom Brady. Oh, did I? I'm sorry. I meant to. That was supposed to be in my head. I didn't mean to say that out loud. Can be honest, though. It's very rare to see somebody who is one of the greatest we've ever seen, at maybe the greatest we've ever seen at what he does, his real job. And like a year or two later, be so bad at something else that is in the same universe, but not the same thing. Because Tom Brady knows more about football than I would ever know. I could live to 1,000, study football nonstop, probably wouldn't know a tenth of what that man knows. But he's got no charisma. He's got no charisma. I got him beat in that department. Not by a lot, let's be honest, not by a lot, but by some. And Michael definitely does. Michael is by far and away, early in his hockey career, calling hockey, way more charismatic, way more exciting, and way more professional than Tom Brady is at his. Think about that. That's that job. That's what announcing is. All the things that Tom Brady, think about the trainers, the people that Tom Brady has, prepping him up and trying to get him good at this job. And Michael's got Randy and Seth. Is that the end of the list? I mean, it's impressive to me. I appreciate our local comment. And certainly ours here, I'm biased, our guys here that work with us and everything. But we got a lot of them up and down the state. You know, calling high school sports. Getting these kids' names set on the air and covering them for people out of state so they can hear them. Appreciate them. Taking a look at our schedule ahead. Got some great basketball on your radio dial tomorrow on WIRI. Speaking of Mike and Randy, they're going to be calling Nakusa Boys Basketball, hosting Adams Friendship. Looks like Beth will be running the board. Ooh, that's going to be cool. Good on you, Beth. WFHR right here. It's a ball night tomorrow night because we'll have basketball over here too. Wisconsin men's basketball hosting Indiana. Looking forward to seeing how the Badgers are going to bounce back over these last couple of games they've had, especially against a team like Indiana, who is good. So that should be a great Tuesday night of basketball. Again, tomorrow, 6:50, tip-off for Nakusa Boys Basketball hosting Adams Friendship. Mike, Randy, Beth going to cover that for you. And over here at WFHR at 7 o'clock, Wisconsin men's basketball hosting Indiana. Wednesday, we'll have another Playmakers for you. And we'll lead you in. We'll be your tailgate for Wisconsin women's basketball as they host USC. Ooh. Yeah, maybe the best play. I don't know if she's the best player in women's college basketball, but she's, if not the best, she's tied for the best, and she's maybe the most exciting. That's going to be fun. Coming to Madtown, one of the best players in women's college basketball, that's going to be exciting. Thursday, the Greg Gard Show at 6:05, followed by the Wisconsin Hockey Hour at 7:05. And then over on our sister station, 105.5, at 7:05, Lincoln High School girls basketball hosting Wausau West. Mike, Randy, and Laura are going to cover that one. All right. It's going to be good. Friday, more playmakers for you. And at 6:30, we'll have Wisconsin men's hockey hosting Penn State. We'll have that whole series for you. Friday, Saturday, we'll have both games. Wisconsin just ahead of Penn State in the Big Ten standings in hockey. And like to see them, you know, win this one. They should. They certainly got a better conference record, but not by much. Michigan State and Minnesota really are running it right now in the Big Ten in hockey. We'll see. We'll take our final time out of the show, come back and take some calls and have some fun here on Playmakers at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Got your host, James, behind the mic. About 5 minutes left to show. Like, fill it with your phone calls. Hit us up, 715-424-2600. Love to talk to you. Call up and sports thoughts and feelings. If you don't make it in today, that's all right. We'll be back Wednesday and Friday. Save those voices for then. That's all right. Got a couple of football stats to get to before we wrap up our stats of the show. But I did find this interesting over the weekend. If you did not see, the Chicago Bears have hired Eric Bieniemy as their running backs coach. Certainly noteworthy with a NFC North team and all that. But what I thought was really noteworthy about it was just that it wasn't really covered and how quickly Eric Bieniemy kind of fell. He was considered one of the, you know, next, everybody was wondering why he wasn't getting a head coaching job and really considered to be one of the key pieces for that Kansas City team. That has just not worked out for him. I like Eric Bieniemy. I liked him as a player, I should say. I don't know him as a person. Seems like a good coach. We'll see how that develops. Did find that interesting. Not as interesting as some of these mind-blowing Super Bowl stats, though. We're going to get into these throughout the week, have some fun with this. And most of the, you know, standard thoughts or stats, I'm sure you already know, if you've been paying attention, especially in the last decade. Most games played, Tom Brady has 10. Most wins, Brady was 7. And, of course, most games by head coach, wins or coached. Belichick has 9 and wins 6. Those are some stats that I don't know if we're going to see beaten. The coaching ones, you know, Andy Reid, I think you can make an argument with the run that they're having right now. But I don't, at his age, I don't know how much longer he is going to do this. And wins, of course. I mean, that's pretty darn difficult. Most losses by a head coach: Bud Grant, Don Shula, Marv Levy, and Dan Reeves all have 4 losses each. A couple of Super Bowls in there, but I think it's pretty interesting that one of the winningest coaches of all time, Don Shula, is also tied for the most losses by a head coach in a Super Bowl. Kind of speaks to the game and the way it goes. How about John Elway? Does anybody have a more interesting career when it comes to the first part of his career and the way that he was going to be looked at? And then Terrell Davis shows up in Denver and he wins 2 Super Bowls and completely changes not only, I mean, his complete legacy has changed. One windmill in the Super Bowl, a complete different story. I think most people that follow John Elway's career are going to tell you one of the greatest quarterbacks they ever saw, all of the above. You know, John Elway didn't have hardly any Pro Bowlers on most of those teams he brought to the Super Bowls and everything. But everybody talks about wins, and Elway got them at the end. But what I wanted to go to were a couple of, I thought, interesting stats. Like most rushing yards in a Super Bowl. Anybody, go ahead and, you don't have to call in, but go ahead in your head or with your hanging out with your friends or whatever and throw out some names. Did anybody have the Italian Stallion Franco Harris? 354. Those Steelers teams get into the big game bunch, so that certainly helps. But that's kind of interesting. And probably a stat that's not going anywhere considering where the NFL is going with, you know, passing the ball much more. But still, you never know. Emmitt Smith has the most touchdowns with 5. But I wanted to go to Jerry Rice. And as I mentioned, we are talking about a league that is going more and more to passing. And with, you know, teams getting better and better, maybe you got a dynasty that shows up. And maybe somebody comes close to it. But I don't think anybody is going to break, not just one, but any of the big three receiving records that Jerry Rice holds in the Super Bowl era. Most touchdowns scored, 8. Most receptions, 33. 33 catches in Super Bowl, throughout his career in the Super Bowls, in all the Super Bowls he's been in. And 599 yards. Halfway to a 1,000-yard season just from Super Bowl appearances for Jerry Rice. Nobody's touching those. I don't think so. If you think differently, we can talk about it on Wednesday's Playmakers. Big shout-out to all of you if you're listening. Thank you so much. Best listeners in radio. Want to say a gigantic thank you to Quality Plus Printing. Been our sponsor for a long time. And our newest sponsor, our newest teammate, our great friends at Family Natural Foods. Visit both of those businesses. Buy local, support those that support us, everybody. Have yourselves a great night. We'll be back on Wednesday with more Playmakers.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.